It is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports. He brings many years of experience to those subjects and more. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
And good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
All right. I have a question for you. I'm not sure if you'd be able to answer it for me or not.
Probably not.
But for the life of me, I don't understand Bitcoin. I don't understand that whole genre of investing. I do know that Bitcoin is down about 20,000 points since it was at like 56,000. It's now down to 36,000. Even Ethereum has dropped off quite a lot. Explain to me, are these coins, is this type of digital currency, is this really something that will be part of the future, or are we now seeing that people are treating these coin it's almost like the stock market crash, the original one from many years ago to me, where just people are just, they might have leveraged themselves into getting all these things, and now the bottom seems to be falling out.
Well, we talked about this some time ago, actually, when Bitcoin was probably about 6,000, and it went over the course of a year to, I guess, 60,000, and then faded as people began to be a little concerned about the future. My opinion on Bitcoin has not changed. Bitcoin is like the tulip craze in Holland hundreds of years ago, when somebody took a notion that tulips were fabulous, what happens if the crop doesn't come again, a lot of baloney like that. And so people bought tulips to the sky, and then the plug got pulled, and they lost their shirts. Now, the Bitcoin is somewhat similar in that you've had people who basically say, hey, it's a new hot idea, and maybe there's a future, maybe there's not, but this is a very exciting thing, and we should buy it, but more particularly, we should push people to buy it. And the bottom line is, Bitcoin, its value is determined very simply by what somebody will pay for it. Now, you might say, well, okay, but that's appropriate for stocks too, right? There's one difference. Stocks frequently pay interest. They earn X amount of dollars per year. So there is a value to a stock. Bitcoin does own no interest, and there are no actual assets behind it other than somebody buying it. A Bitcoin is created on the computer. They use a tremendous amount of energy to do that. And then it trades like in the air. If you want it, you pay this. If you don't want it, you sell that. But when people decide they don't want to do it, one or the other, and all of a sudden people who own Bitcoin say, I'm out of here. I've got my 5,000. I've got my 10,000. There's no market for this thing. There's no regulation for Bitcoin. Stocks are regulated by the U.S. government. Commodities are regulated by the Commodity Futures Agency. Corporate bonds, municipal bonds, treasury bonds are overseen by the Federal Reserve, by the government. Bitcoin doesn't have any of that security, in the sense that people are responsible for manipulation, laundering of money, whatever. There's nobody there who regulates this thing. Now, part of the problem here in the last 2 weeks of it coming down from about 60 to 32,000 at the low, it's now 36,000, was the fact that more and more people in this country are saying, should this be regulated by the government? Also, the government, as China, is basically saying, we don't want you buying things with Bitcoin. Why? They want to preserve the integrity of their own currency. So if you own Bitcoin, you're basically fighting at this juncture. One, it will be regulated or it'll be gone. Two, there are governments that don't want any part of it. Three, there's massive speculation in it. Four, the leverage being used in the last, call it 6 months, has grown tremendously. The leverage has been calls, which sell for a fraction of a dollar, but give you the right to buy a Bitcoin at a certain price. Also puts, that gives you the right to sell at a certain price. Now, speculators, in driving this thing up, said, okay, fine. Let's play calls. Let's buy calls. We can leverage the amount of Bitcoin we want, like 10, 15, 20, 100%, based on how much leverage we take. That's what happened here when it went from 60 to 32 in short order. The people who were speculating said, hey, enough already, and they got out. There wasn't a bid. Now, people, even today, they're talking on the television, oh, something in the future and so forth. Unless you believe you're going to outer space in the next 20 years, I strongly suggest you treat people who are hyping Bitcoin as nothing other than people looking to make a buck. You'll notice, like, this fella who runs Tesla, he was out there saying, literally a month ago, okay, I think we're going to take Bitcoin for Tesla product. And okay, I bought some for myself, and okay, I bought some for the company. So what happened? People saw that. They took the stock up. Bingo. Literally a month or 3 weeks later, he said, well, I'm not so certain on this thing anymore, and started liquidating. Said to people, we will not take Bitcoin for the Tesla. And so I've just given you a story about the ups and downs based on human beings who are speculating on something that is yet to prove that it's of a value. And if somebody wants to stand up and say it's of a value because of this, that, and the other, God bless them. I sell them Bitcoin.
You know, it's interesting. We live in interesting times. The latest story that I'm following is because I'm in the process of really switching over, and eventually, once, speaking of Elon Musk, I get my Starlink equipment in and set up. I'm going to be dropping out of the major cable companies and going independent, like getting Disney, getting Netflix, getting things like that. It was just announced yesterday that once again Amazon is just very close to buying MGM Studios for between $8 and $9 billion. And now you have to understand that this is a private company, but what it does is it enables Amazon to more and more take control and offer more video content. I sit here and I say to myself, I remember when cable TV came in and people say, well, you don't have to, there's no commercials. Well, cable TV has become like commercial TV, but it's also become so very, very, very expensive. If you want to have a full dose of a decent cable, it's going to cost you anywhere between $180, $220 a month, where you can get Starlink for $99 a month, and then add on for $4 and $6 a month some other of these services that you want. And something like Starlink and Elon Musk, does this portend something where in the future where these big cable companies are going to face some crisis?
They're in the process. People are eventually going to get fed up. It could be as soon as the next significant recession because the cost that a person bears versus what they're getting and based on the company's investment really doesn't match up. So value will out. We've seen that time and again with people, with, you know, some of these big deals. But I'd say this. I think, you know, along this line, and I applaud you for what you're doing, and you have the technological ability to do it. But I think the average person has got to start just going in their head for a while, for a week or something, and figure out, do I really need all the stuff that these people are providing? It's the same old game. The corporation gets you in, and then they beat your head out with the higher prices. And I think this area has got to really be thought out by individual consumers. We really think we need stuff when indeed we don't need stuff. But that's my personal opinion. In terms of the businesses themselves, you know, they've got a ton of money and this and that, and they can raise prices and so on and so on. But every dog has its day, and when they get too big, the corporations frequently run into a lot of problems because they've affected too much overhead that is not producing for them. They become misguided by their success and think it's going to go on forever. I don't understand the technology you're speaking of, Marshall. It might be helpful sometime if you actually do your show devoted to sharing that information. If you wanted to do it or up to it or whatever it is, and you might even get some experts on that might comment on it, because this is an area now that it's prohibitive in terms of the expenses that the average person is paying. And the thing is, they're getting killed with all this advertising. I mean, if you watch enough television, you will be sick in one way. Just select the commercial, and if you watch it enough, you'll probably have the symptoms.
You know, Jim, is there any competition between Bitcoin and the Dow and stocks, or are they just two separate ships?
I wouldn't call it competition. Okay. I would call it other things that are like Bitcoin. And there might be 10, 20 of them. I really don't follow all these little ones much. But, you know, one thing went from 50 cents to $2 recently. I can't even remember the name of it. But that's the kind of leverage there is. I mean, nobody has shown me where this is going to be something good for the long-term economy of this country, and more importantly, the people of this country. Right now you have these credit card companies. People get behind in their debt. They get killed with interest charges and so forth. I just don't see it. I'm not an expert, but I do know a bit of fraud, a lot of hoi polloi in terms of this is going up forever. And that, I can tell you, I really see. And it's just been demonstrated by this 50% decline in Bitcoin.
All right. Well, you answered my questions. I'll let you take the floor now, because I know you must have some topics you want to talk about. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Boy, my questions are really not as simple as your question, even though Bitcoin is a complicated thing. I just don't have an idea on, and maybe somebody does, when this virus on a political, social basis is going to be handled. And I use the word virus because this thing was created. It wasn't the actual thing I'm talking about, the racism and the hatred and the need to be violent to get one's own way, and I'm right, you're wrong, and let's fight. That's the virus. And that virus apparently has been latent, certainly a lot more and whatever than I ever thought. But The Trump administration sparked the development to new levels. And I'll just give you two examples. Charlottesville. Remember Charlottesville? Well, Trump said, well, there are people who are good people on both sides. Well, okay, well, please tell us who the good ones are and who else is. He never addressed the fact that American white citizens were basically saying Jews will not take our jobs, okay? That was never addressed. That was allowed to fester and came up in various ways, not necessarily about Jews, but about minorities, sick people, fat people, whatever. And his vitriol in terms of castigating people on television or from a stage, that fed in my opinion, to the human psyche that was really susceptible to this because they had a lot of this kind of thing in them. The second thing he did, and he did many things, but I remember is out on Long Island at Peter King's district, and this was when one of these gangs or something were infiltrating Long Island. And he basically said, he was addressing the cops, and he said, basically, you know, don't be so easy on these guys, you know. Don't hold their head as they're getting in the car. That thing, those words from the President of the United States was giving permission to police to be violent, to take their angst out, their problem of the day out, on whoever they were trying to arrest or question or whatever. And you see it, it's growing and it's growing and it's growing. The virus now is attacking people in the subway system. Now, look, a lot of these people are mentally ill who are stabbing people and shooting people, but they're not all mentally ill. And more importantly, 4 years ago, we didn't have this number of people going over the edge. Now we do. And it's because the rhetoric from Trump and his group, which continues, this against us, turning people against one another. As I've mentioned before, and you can probably get it on PBS rerun or whatever, Trump's playbook has been the Hitler playbook. Turn people against them, and then use that againstness to get power. That's what's going on. That's what the Republicans are doing right now. That we are not, that we didn't already have an investigation beginning on the insurrection on January 6th is beyond the pale. It is absolutely beyond the pale. Maybe young people just don't pay attention. But anybody my age, a little younger, we are devastated by our capital being attacked, by our military police being attacked, by the Vice President of the United States, the Speaker of the House, being set up for possible violence. Yet we do not have anything. Why? Because the Republicans want to hold on to this negativity because they think it's going to get them back into power. I have news for them, and I don't know how much long we have, but this is kind of an ending thing anyway. Yeah. These Republicans, politicians who are doing what they're doing, they have completely lost all sense of reality. The reality is Donald Trump will be indicted, maybe not in jail, before the next election. The other reality is he might be dead because he's unhealthy. And he's got so much evil. Well, maybe he's got too much evil on him. Yeah, that's what I have to say.
Jim, it's always interesting to get together with you.
I can't hear you.
I said it's always interesting to get together with you. I'll speak to you next week.
Hey, wait a second. Don't I have another half hour?
Not yet.
Love you all. Have a good week. Stay safe.
Take care. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.